This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You'll have to let me know. But anyways, my name's Brandon Curry. Where is everybody else? Oh, there we are.
I'm Jeff Collins.
I'm Josh Bond.
I'm Trevor Lindy.
So thanks very much. We also have some special guests today, which is amazing and totally cool. We'll first start off for the host of 95.7 in Edmonton, the Locker Room. Lachlan Cross is with us. Hello, sir.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is it's an honor.
It is
to get brought on to the Testicle podcast.
Well, it is. It's going to be great because, like, one, well, we're huge fans of your podcast as well, and also you're constantly on you're constantly on Dean's podcast all the time. So we get a lot of exposure. So we're so thrilled that you were able to make it. Thanks very much.
Yeah. No. I appreciate it.
And our guest, the piece de resistance, the guest of honor, Miss Olenka, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great. Giggly. She is the co-founder and co-owner with her business partner, Alicia, at Clariderma. So, Rookie, if you want to put that randomly throughout the episode just to promote her business. So thank you so much for coming on. So everyone that's watching, listening, doing whatever, this all came up. Olenka and I, along with Trevor and Bondo, are in a business group, right? We were out for dinner for our business group. And Olenka goes, I got a story. And she captivated the whole audience because no one could believe it. And that is, amongst other things that you do, which we are going to get into, but the main thing is Scrotox, which is Botox for your balls.
For your balls.
Okay, Botox, so balls. We have this is all great, learning is power. That's right.
We got to dive into this shit. Like, how do you?
I can see them as you do. Like, it pops up. People are loving
it. And then we told Lachlan, and Lachlan's like, you got to be kidding me. This is amazing. So everyone's pumped that watch our show that locks on right now. So, okay, Olenka, go a little bit into Clariderma. You are a nurse practitioner. So, which that was a monumental exam you just wrote.
Yeah.
So congratulations on.
Thank you.
Someone's really important there. Look at that. Okay. So go ahead. Go on to Clariderma, and then we're going to get into Botox and your balls.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually it came up perfectly because we just expanded our space. So this is our fifth year in business. We're celebrating our fifth year. And we just took over the unit beside us and we expanded. So with that expanded menu, we are expanding our services. So guys and men, like, we've seen a huge uptick in guys getting services, whether it's facials, whether it's hair loss treatments, whether it's, Botox for guys as well, filler, all that kind of stuff. And we're going to branch out both into a little bit more female-centered services and male-centered services. And that includes Scrotox. And I wish that I could take credit for the term Scrotox. I did not make it up. It's actually going to be a trademark term. So one of the physicians who is the master of this procedure, his name is John Leonardo, and he's out of Toronto. So he is John Leonardo or Leonardo
There's
Medicine. If you want to look him up, and he's got the term down. And so I had done a training with him, and we started talking about Scrow Talk. We started talking about Grow Talks. We started talking about all the stuff that you can do with aesthetics. And it's a big thing. It is a big thing. And guys don't.
Grow Talks.
Yeah.
What the hell's Grow Talks?
Grow Talks. So Scrow Talks works on your balls, on the scrotum. Grow Talks is a penis enhancing treatment. So there's a couple of different ways to do it. I am less schooled on that. We certainly haven't brought that in yet, but you can use either fillers, you can use either plasma. So plasma you can use for a ton of stuff, including to regenerate and add growth, add girth to the penis.
So it's like a permanent cock ring, kind of.
Kind of. Like,
raise your hand if you think this is a bad idea.
This could be expensive.
You can make lots of money. Colin,
I was going to say, Collins will be there every week. Is that how frequently you're going to be doing this?
You start using it, and then you stop using it. Your wife's not going to be happy all of a sudden, right? Like, you use
it. Does it go away? It wears off?
It depends. If you use something like PRP, which is plasma, so we draw your blood, we spin it, the platelets come to the surface. They're like a really nice gold color. They've got growth factors in them. They've got adult stem cells in them. So we use that for hair loss treatment as well on the head. Okay. And you can, any place that you put it, it will regenerate tissue. So in sports medicine and stuff like that, they can put it into, like, you know, you've got a rotator cuff injury, or like you tore your bicep or quad or whatever, they'll inject some PRP into it. Helps repair the muscle. Your penis is a muscle. Helps to grow it.
I got a question for you. I got a question about the number of people that are coming in on sort of a gender perspective. Like, if mm-hmm. you see 10 people in a day, and I'm just mm-hmm. using a number to give us an idea, how many are, and I'm not even talking about the fact that you now have these amazing products for our dinks.
Yeah.
If you have 10 people walk through the door, how many are men? Like,
yeah,
is it or two?
So I'd say 1 to 2. I would say 1 to 2. And I'd say that that's probably changed over the last 2 years. It's hard to say because, like, you've got the COVID void of, you know, nobody saw anybody. Right. But I actually want to say, coming out of COVID, we've seen a huge uptick in guys in all kinds of services.
Wow.
And so I don't know if that's because dating through COVID was hard, or like maybe people left their spouses during COVID.
To reinvent themselves.
Yeah. I mean, we also see a lot of women bringing in their partners too. So, you know, and sometimes they come willingly, sometimes they are skeptical, and then they come back on their own. We are seeing, I would say, 1 to 2 guys if we're using that. I'd say probably 10 guys a week ish, let's say.
And they're all getting scrotox? Seeing.
No.
Or grow to, what is it, grotox or scrotox?
Man, two different things. One's for your balls, one's for your dick.
So how does the Botox work? So there's the PRP piece. But how does the Botox grow your penis?
So the Botox doesn't grow your penis, but it can make your balls look bigger. So Botox, the only
the women
thing
are bringing
Botox
in the men
does,
for tune-ups.
That's where I think I might have been, like, unnecessarily asked to come on this podcast, because I do have a fascination with my nuts. But I have a problem with them already being too big. And this isn't me, like, on a warm day, if it's humid, if I'm sitting in the toilet, sometimes they're dipping in the water. And so when somebody brought up the Scrotox, I was like, okay, well, that's like the sack jack, right? Like, it's, and apparently, no, this just makes them bigger. That's the last thing I want. Like, I don't want more things flying around down there. So this is, people want bigger ones? Are you seeing people come in going, can you tighten these bad boys up? I need them to be a little bit closer to the sphincter. No,
usually it's the opposite. So usually, usually they're too high,
guys
right? Guys want them to come down. Yeah. It also helps with sweating. So that's a big thing.
Ball sweat.
Botox helps.
Sweaty balls.
Yeah, ball sweat, sweaty balls. God, that's all that was running through my head this morning was the SNL.
Oh, great SNL skit. That was such a great SNL skit.
Mark, if you've got big balls, maybe you got to get the penis one. You know, hence your penis to match your balls.
Well then his penis is going to be dipping in the water.
I could use a little bit of Grotox.
Yeah. Grotox.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
So what made you target the balls? Like you don't hear many women saying, "Oh, that guy's got a great set of balls on him. Look at the balls on him." You know, it's like, why is that target for this?
You guys don't. Maybe we talk about it all the time.
That's what I'm curious about. Like you always say, the guy's got big muscles. You know, big dick. You never say, "Look at the balls on that guy. Look how
you don't
look how round and voluptuous his balls are. It's so hot."
I never have, but maybe women do.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm asking. I wonder why this was
Women appreciate the whole package, right? I mean, if they're tight up there, if they're all shriveled up, what can you do with them? You can't do anything with them. So
you can do the bat wing. You ever seen Waiting, the movie? You can do all kinds of stuff.
The Scrotox will make them a little looser, make them smooth out a bit, present them there for you, you know. It's all about the aesthetic.
It's the whole package, eh?
It's the whole package.
I just so many questions about this. Is funny.
So okay, so I got a bunch. I have like a ton. So when did this? Locke had to leave everyone. He does have a full time gig and you know.
Oh, Scrotox talk. He had to go off camera for a bit. Hey, he's like, yeah. Man.
This is good.
He's upset. So smaller nuts, not bigger.
How does this work? Like, so they come in and how many sessions is it?
So Botox, I'll just kind of back up. So Botox is a brand, right? So Botox brand, everybody knows Botox brand. So the actual Botox works in whatever area that you place it in, anywhere from 3 to 6 months. So if you know, you're kind of doing this twice a year, you've got the effect for about 6 months or so, 5 to 6 months. And so you come in and, you know, numbing is applied. So it's a comfortable procedure because I'm surprised people haven't asked if it's needles in your balls yet, which, you know,
that's
it is. I was getting to that.
Tiny
in the balls or in the sack? In the testicle?
If you kind of think about, we kind of treat the underside. So the underside, and it's a few tiny little pokes. Numbing cream is there. It's really comfortable. It's like a little mosquito bite. So it's a really quick procedure. And then
I still don't like mosquitoes bite my nuts.
Speak for yourself. Hey, Curry, doesn't this sound a lot faster than a vasectomy? So is this why Bondo and Collins are all into this?
I love vasectomies.
Yeah, well, I don't know how long is the procedure, Alenka?
It sounds like it's very quick.
It's short. So the longest time you have is your numbing time. So we put on a numbing cream, and so that's there, you know, 10 to 15 minutes. The actual procedure is quick. So like under 5 minutes.
So 10 to 15 minutes, you're putting cream on our balls.
I mean, Colin,
you can do that before you go in.
Start cream on your nuts.
So
I'll just take the numbing cream. That's it. I'm good.
That's it. As people are going to be coming in for nut cream.
Yeah. So basically, Alenka, it starts off with every guy's fantasy: woman putting cream all over them, like all over their nuts. This is just
over
like oh my god,
beautiful balls are beautiful. You mean that's amazing? That's their fantasy.
And then out comes the needle, is what you're saying, to kind of ruin it. Right?
It's tiny.
In your nut.
In your nut.
In your nut.
I mean, you don't have to look at it. You won't even feel it because you'll be numb.
Do you put it in both nuts? Just one nut?
I mean, if you want just one smooth, low nut, I mean, I can do it.
The eyes are so soft.
when you've got one, a different size than the other.
No, that was good.
Can we just balance them out?
The vasectomy, the little tight.
Totally.
Balance them out, right, guys? So one's a little larger than the other.
So you can do Cheech 1 week and Chong the next week if you want to for your nuts, right?
Okay.
I assume you guys name yours too, right? So
no. So here's a question. Here's a question.
I'm just
going
to pretend to be frozen on the screen with that comment.
Cheech and Chong. So, what do you call yours? Pete and Repeat?
Big Jim and the Twins. I mean, like, that's what you got to do.
Dust
right?
One and Dust Two.
Dust One and Dust Two.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah, because
so,
everybody jokes around after the vasectomy that you're shooting dust.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
So,
I wouldn't know.
You might want to get checked out for that there.
I'm not literally being serious about this.
Sure you are.
Okay.
You're just trying to gauge the temperature of the room.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So let's go back to the procedure. So when was this discovered, created, trademarked, that kind of stuff?
I can't give you a specific date. I know that it's been years and years. Like everything, aesthetics steals from medicine, other places in medicine. So you can use Botox, can be used a lot for chronic pain. So, you know, if someone has chronic pain down in their testicles, because it can be an actual medical condition, right? If someone's testicles are too tight in that muscle. So, you know, for treating chronic pain and things like that, all of a sudden you notice a side effect of smoother balls, less sweaty balls, you know, balls that are hanging a bit lower. And then we take it in aesthetics and we run with it.
Who was the first person you tried this on? Was there a test, a guinea pig for this or what? Was this like a significant other?
I can neither confirm nor deny my patient experience.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
Well, you don't have to give us a name or nothing, but I'm curious. The first guy
Jeff
going up
Collins
there, saying,
is the first guy.
Oh my God.
I do have very smooth balls. So,
okay. But, so let me ask a question here. Botox, is that not botulism?
Yes, it is. It's botulism. But it's not like, it's not the botulism you're growing in your tomato sauce or whatever, right? It's an actual pharmaceutical grade botulism. So Botox is a brand of it. There's a few others. There's one called Dysport. There's one called Xeomin, and they're all a synthetic made version of botulinum.
Perfectly safe then, right? No,
perfectly
concern.
Safe. Yeah.
Other than the two needles in the balls.
Yeah, no. I see
after that. 15 minutes of massage cream.
That's, I don't like needles generally, right? Like,
you won't see them.
There's probably two places I wouldn't want to needle. Eyeballs and my balls.
Oh, eyeballs.
It's a little one, right? It's a tiny
one. My grandfather got a needle in his eyeball, and I heard that. It was, jeez.
They're tiny. If anybody knows syringes, they're a diabetic. It's a diabetic syringe.
Oh,
so
okay.
I actually saw someone asked about the gauge. It's actually a 30 gauge needle. So it's one of the smallest gauges that you can get.
And there's a topical that's good on beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah.
For 15 minutes.
Yeah. Jeff will come and massage it for you.
No, he charges every 6 minutes. So that's 2.5 charges right there. I can't do that. I just kind of throw it at him. So what's the cost of this, Alenka? For one session of Botox.
Yeah, it takes about 50 units of Botox, so it's about $500.
$500 for 15 minutes of Botox to make my balls amazing.
Yeah, to make them amazing. Last change, 6 months.
Change my marriage forever.
It definitely could. It's up to you how you use them.
Right? They are yours. They're your balls, so you get to do whatever you want with it. It's your body, your choice, Jeff, okay? Your body, your choice.
That's not what my wife says.
Don't dangle them in the toilet like that.
So do you want, let's go over a couple of other things. Cause you really touched on a bunch of different things. I mean, like, Clariderma in general, I know you guys do a lot of beautification, procedures. I know you've tried to help me with my face. Cause for those that may not be able to see, I was an idiot, never wore sunscreen in March when it went down, and had a little bit of hypopigmentation was the word I think you used,
mm-hmm.
Alenka.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, had to see a derm. It is what it is. But you do that. You do some great skincare. Mm-hmm. You do also hair removal. Do you do laser hair removal? Laser?
Yep, we do laser hair removal. Yep, also to the balls,
yep.
If you'd like. So we do laser hair removal. we basically do anything skin related. So laser hair removal, different types of facials. We do IPL, which is something that targets sun damage or brown spots, red spots.
Like Mela just asked, sunspot, right?
Yeah, sunspots. Yep. Yeah, sunspots, exactly. And then our facials vary from, you know, a medical grade, more relaxing style facial to a little bit more intense, whether we're working on kind of deep wrinkles, some skin resurfacing, things like that.
What, okay. And then how, like, do you do anything regarding, okay, so what's the difference between, I guess, your, now that you're a nurse practitioner, what is going to be the difference between your company and like a dermatologist? Like, what is, for those that might not know the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not a dermatologist, but definitely. Okay. So the biggest thing, I mean, this is a professional podcast too. So if we're talking, you know, business wise, for us, one of the biggest business decisions was that right now we pay a nurse practitioner monthly for things that in the past I wasn't able to do. So in order to inject any kind of Botox or filler, you need a medical directive either from a nurse practitioner or a physician, because they are considered a prescription. Filler is considered a medical device. Botox is considered a prescription. So you actually need those things. So now, as a nurse practitioner, I'll be able to be our own medical director. But then also for...
So you can fill the scripts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I can fill the scripts. Yeah. But then more over than that, there'll be kind of a bypass of referring people back to their family doctor for referrals. So we see people way, way more often than their family doctors do. And sometimes we see things that should be referred to derms. So I'll be able to now write a referral letter straight from Clariderma to a dermatologist. Let's say if you have a sunspot that looks like it should be checked out for cancer purposes and things like that.
Ah, all right, cool. Well, then that's great. That, because you're right. Especially during the pandemic, it was really hard to see your family physician. And actually, as I know, not mine, but I know some have yet to go back. So, and there's still virtual. People are very frustrated. So that's good that if you have a skin related issue, you can go into your into Clariderma. And now, where did you get the name Clariderma? Derma, obviously skin, get that.
Yeah, derma, obviously skin, clara, bright or clear, right? If we're going back to Latin. So yeah, bright skin, clear skin. It made sense. Okay. It had a good ring.
Do you get rid of skin tags?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got one here at one of my eyelids.
Yeah, skin tags, any kind of, not to stereotype guys, but you know, any kind of ingrown hairs, any kind of crazy, you know, cysts you guys have rocking on your body, all that kind of stuff.
So women don't get these things while you're stereotyping men on this?
So women do, but women take care of them. Women don't ignore them. Guys tend to just sort of ignore them and then have someone look at them in 2 years when they've grown or they pop or
the ingrown hair. Like those are those are a pain in the ass. I hate those.
What about this boily thing that I got on?
Absolutely. Come on in. Let me add it. Dr. Pimple Popper style, right?
Dr. Pimple Popper MD. Yeah, those are nasty. Yep.
Anything you can do for Cab Space?
What?
I just think you got some of the skin on here, bud.
You guys all have great hair. We do a lot of hair loss.
You do a lot of
very spiky hair, right?
Yeah, we do a lot of hair loss treatments. That's what we see a lot for guys. Yeah. We use PRP, so we use plasma as well. Women too. So women will come in if they've got some hair loss too, but mostly guys. And we've gotten really, really good hair regrowth for guys. It does, and it's a really big confidence boost, right? So I mean, it's one of the things, like, people come in all the time for sure aesthetics, but you know, it links back to how you feel, right? And guys, that's one of the biggest insecurities they have. And so
that and the balls, right? The
balls. Yeah, right.
So what happened? You're bald for the last five years, and all of a sudden you come back out with your buddies, and boom, you got a full head of hair.
It's nice and slow. No one will ever know.
I love the bald guys. They're my favorite to hang out with. I feel like I always got one up on them. Solution?
So, Alenka, out of curiosity with the hair loss stuff, only because a buddy popped
he wears
in
a wig. He wears a wig.
Yeah, exactly. I wear a wig.
He's got a merkin.
No, like he uses like medically prescribed shampoos. I believe he's on. He has been on medication, like oral medication, previously.
Mm-hmm. Propecia.
Yeah, the Propecia.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you specifically what it is, but you know the hair loss treatments that you guys offer, can that kind of be an added benefit to everything else that he's doing, or is it one or the other?
No, absolutely added benefit. So that's one of the things that I always talk about too when guys come in is, you know, what have they tried? And you can kind of think about it this way. Like I always go back to see, you know, is it something hormone related too? Because we're going to be working kind of from the top down. If I've got hormones or an imbalance that can be fixed working against me, it'll be nice now as a nurse practitioner, actually, we can actually explore some of that more. So if someone doesn't have a family doctor, or if their family doctor or, you know, family nurse practitioner isn't willing to do some of those tests, then we can do them. So that can give us a little bit more insight. But definitely, if you're using already oral medications, if you're using the wash, we will suggest some things as well if someone's coming in and hasn't tried anything. But what we do is a really nice adjunct. So the way that it works is that your hair follicles, we inject the PRP in and around where the hair follicle is. And with the growth factors, with the adult stem cells, it gives any dormant hair follicles that might not be holding on to your hair or may have stopped giving out a hair stock. We give them everything they need and kind of rejuvenate them. And so they'll start growing hair, little bald patches will start filling in. It is a temporary solution. So it's not something that'll be kind of one and done, but it can really extend the length of your hair if you've got male pattern baldness, you know, in your family, right?
So what's the difference between that and like doing follicle? Like I've heard they put hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so the follicle treatment, yeah. Go to Turkey, have your vacation and come back with a full head of hair. That's exactly it. So the hair follicle transplant is very different. So we're not transplanting anything. We're working with your body by adding the PRP into the areas where you have less or thinning hair to rejuvenate and regrow that hair. The actual hair transplant part, I don't do it, so I may not be 100% on it, but essentially what they do is they take a strip from kind of the back of your head and they will transplant each one of those little hair follicles into usually kind of like the crown of your head or wherever you are balding, like one hair at a time. And then that hair then is transplanted to the front to fill in those areas, and then it continues to grow.
It's so like a landscaper pulling out a pot of grass from dead area. Dead area.
So is this fresh area. This all now possible because of the stem cell research advancement and all that? Like this is relatively new, right?
A lot of it. A lot of it is the technology of the machines that they use to actually grab the hair and separate the hair. That technology too. Like way less downtime and things like that. It really is from what I've read and some of the people that I have known to have the procedure. It's way less downtime, way quicker, way safer, and the results are actually better.
We do have a question from
We have a bunch
online. Seawitch.
Yeah.
Is there anything for reversing gray hair? Obviously, apart from dyeing it.
Yeah, no, nothing for gray hair. So gray hair is just the loss of melanin from your hair. And the thing about gray hair is we also can't treat it with the laser hair removal machine either, because the laser hair removal machine targets the coloring in your hair, targets the melanin in your hair. So if you've got gray hair, you know, like under the arms, and you're looking to get that done, the laser hair removal machine won't work for that. But if you're losing hair and it's gray, the PRP for hair loss will help with that, but the hair will still grow in gray.
Okay. Got out it. Of curiosity about this whole gray thing. So can't reverse the gray, but can you expedite it? So I don't have stupid gray patch. I'd rather it just all go gray and be done.
Salt up and top, pepper. Okay,
I'm fine. Salt and pepper up top, but it's the patches in the beard that drive me crazy. So I'd rather all go gray. Yeah, absolutely.
You too.
Shave it off.
I like the beard, but I keep it short because of the gray patches.
Really? It looks good. It doesn't look bad by any means.
Yeah, I'd rather it all go gray. Huh. I'm fine by that.
Also, just wear more gray clothes.
Control GX. Control GX is a shampoo that's got a little dye in it.
I was going to say, you need a little Just for Men.
Yeah. No, but I don't. Does it dye it gray?
You probably could get like a, they've got to have a color like Silver Fox or something that you can use, I'm sure.
Mother Nature wants me to keep the beard short. Yes, that's exactly.
Yeah, that's Michelle. Okay, we also had, okay, so Kathleen said, awesome, love nurse practitioner run clinics. I would second that. I do want to touch on the nurse practitioner piece in just a second, but I wanted to make sure we got everyone's any questions that were out there. I think we're all good so far, but please keep the questions coming for Olenka regarding any of her services. It doesn't matter. But I have one, because you are expanding and you are doing an open house coming up.
Yeah.
I saw that somewhere. Mm-hmm. You want to tell people about that?
September 10th. So we have an open house coming up September 10th. We're going to have tons of prizes, tons of our services on special. So because it's also like post-COVID, we're coming into our busy season, which is hopefully Christmas party season. People just getting back to school, getting back to, you know, some kind of semblance of normal. And we're celebrating our 5 years. On the 10th, we are going to have lots of demos. So I'll be doing a Botox and a filler demo, 2 a.m, 2 p.m. The other medical estheticians will be doing microneedling. We'll be doing sunspot. So you can get a free sunspot removal as a demo. They'll be doing, we'll have a skin analysis machine. So it's called a Visia machine. It'll take a few photos of your face, tell you your sun damage, your skin age, sunspots, show you your wrinkles, things like that. And all of our amazing skincare will be on promo as well. We've got a food truck, which is even better, bubbly, and lots and lots of stuff. Yeah.
All right. Well, sign me up for that skin thing, face thing.
Yeah.
Because I need to have an analysis.
Does it give you recommendations to fix your skin?
Yeah, it'll give you. It'll give you recommendations. It'll show you sort of dry patches of your skin. It'll show you where you've got the most sun damage, wrinkles. It'll give you a skin age, which is always great because within the office, it's a competition, right? Because we all have services. We all do, you know, Botox and we all do skincare and we all do treatments and stuff like that. So whose skin age is the
youngest,
the lowest, the youngest out of everybody's?
Do you give sac analysis there too? Or they
you know what? You'll have to ask the tech. I mean, come on down. Ask the tech if they'll give you a.
Isn't it more of a ruler? They just see how low it hangs, and that's your age of your sac kind of thing.
That's it.
Oh my God!
We'll do one around, one low.
So Ontario's moving towards a. I want to know your opinion on this. Is moving towards more, I don't know what they're going to do with healthcare. They got to do something with healthcare, but definitely on the utilizing nurse practitioners more. And then this is coming off of Kathleen's comment about nurse practitioner run clinics, which is definitely amazing on how you can run a walk-in clinic in the province of Ontario with a whole bunch of nurse practitioners, as long as you have one physician overseeing everything. Right. But would you ever entertain that, you being a nurse practitioner, would you ever look at, taking on like a clientele base, like as in a doctor, and why not?
Primary care?
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So I am a primary care NP. Yes. And you're right. The structured model in Ontario is one that NPs don't bill OHIP directly, which is the way that physicians get paid. So NPs are utilized in a clinic setting and we're paid a salary. And so, yeah, you can have an NP-led clinic, but that clinic receives money from the federal government. It isn't the nurse practitioner actually billing, which is part of the reason why people like NP care a bit better, because we can see, you know, 10 patients or we can see 8 patients effectively and still get paid the same. I mean, aside from a bunch of other reasons why nurse practitioners tend to have a different clinical focus than physicians. But for Clleroderma, it doesn't make sense for us to have sort of a primary care stream. It would probably be something that I would look at just for keeping my skills up. So whether I come into a walk-in clinic a few times a month or I do locums. I know that's something that that physicians and other nurse practitioners are always looking for if they want to go on vacation. You can't really leave your patients unattended right. for a big period of time. So I could maybe fill some of those gaps. Or if things start to move kind of in a different way and it makes sense for us to branch out into certain ways within the clinic, then that's probably something that I would do.
Okay. Excellent. And what are your thoughts right now on now the model also changed with walk-in clinics. Are you familiar with that? I think it was like back in January of 2021, I think. Mm-hmm. Any comments on that? Like, and where, why or why not you think this is a good change or in any capacity, especially in the medical capacity?
I'm not as familiar with the changes to the walk-in clinics because it's just not my world, right?
Right.
So I think for the walk-in clinic model, even, you know, within the family doctor's office that my daughter goes to and I go to, right? It's trying to keep everyone sort of in these family health teams, mm-hmm. and it's trying to keep people from mm-hmm. utilizing strictly walk-in clinics and using like a walk-in clinic within your office, which for continuity of care makes sense, right? Then at least you're within that office setting and people have access to your charting and things like that. And it makes the true walk-in clinic, experience, you know, now essentially what's happening is people who don't have a primary care nurse practitioner or physician are going to the walk-in clinic and it's always fragmented, right? You may not see the same doctor there, you know, to get a referral, who's following up with you. It makes it really hard for those that don't have anybody.
Good for one-offs maybe, right? But not continued.
Yeah, not continued care.
You step on a nail, you get tetanus or something, you know?
Yeah, but there's so many people without a family doctor that just continue to use walk-in clinics, and they might not see the same doctor there every time. And it's just that piece like, okay, the immediate is taken care of, but then what's the follow-up? Yeah, and then that person just keeps getting worse.
Right. Now, what... with regards to your other services, okay, so we touched on hair regeneration. Over 100,000 people without a doctor. We desperately need mm-hmm. NPs and doctors. There you go.
In Nova Scotia.
So anyone that's yep. watching this as a nurse practitioner, go to Nova Scotia because they're in desperately need for doctors and nurse practitioners. What's some other stuff that your clinic does that maybe in for men and women, or maybe even children too? Because I think, you know, classically, a lot of people just see a brand and they just think one way, they make assumptions, right? So mm-hmm. What else do you guys do that you would be, you know, would catch people off guard? Like, oh my God, you guys, I didn't know you guys did that.
I think whenever anyone sees an aesthetics clinic, they automatically think Botox and filler or that kind of stream. But myself included, and Alicia and I, my business partner, the reason that we started the clinic wasn't because we want to pump Botox and filler. It's because we had skincare issues as teens, as young adults, and there wasn't a place for us to go. There wasn't a place to go that wasn't kind of pretentious. So we, the main thing is that we want to be accessible, and we actually want to do something that works. And you know, you can't blame family physicians and nurse practitioners because the amount of derm that they get is so small, because of everything else that you need to know. So, you know, if your family doctor only knows, you know, one or two things that, that they learned about skincare and it isn't necessarily getting to the root of the problem. I think that's one of the biggest things that we do is a lot of either acne related stuff, acne scarring related treatments, getting people on a skincare routine that they can also live with, because there's a lot of prescription medications that will dry you out, make your skin crack and bleed while they also get rid of their acne, right? That's also not a place to live. So we're trying to do things that will take care of that, treat the underlying cause, and then treat, you know, maybe some of the acne scarring that people have left over, some of the hyperpigmentation. Maybe you don't have acne anymore, but, you know, maybe you have all of the red marks that the acne leaves when it goes away. And unfortunately, your skin is one of the things that people see right off the bat. You know, masks hid for most of us for a certain amount of time, but also created a lot of acne, right? We had these huge maskne outbreaks and things like that. And people want to feel good. For me personally too, I had acne in university, bad acne. But I also am a Ukrainian. I am light skinned with dark hair. And, you know, my childhood was, you know, monkey arms or Sasquatch or, you know, you go through puberty and, you know, girls have a mustache, which isn't so great. So, you know, laser hair removal for me was fantastic. And we hear that from a lot of women as well. And, you know, moms nowadays, not that in the past they didn't, but I think the education piece is there more. So we are seeing a lot of younger kids come through, and a lot of parents that want to help their kids, you know, before it gets bad, before, you know, it can be an issue in schools, because unfortunately kids can be cruel, with anything that looks different.
I got a question for you, Alenka. I have a 13-year-old boy. And he doesn't really care about his skin or anything like that, but we know high school is coming real quick, and I realize that the judgmental side of high school can be intense. He's got something that I think we had diagnosed more or less with, like chicken skin. Have you heard of that? It's like just like rough skin and all that on his shoulders and arms and that. And he doesn't care, but we kind of want to get rid of that for him. Do you need a doctor's referral to go to you? Can you just go to you and make an appointment?
Nope, you can just.
Is that something you look at and all that?
Yeah. So chicken skin, or like a keratosis pilaris, is often what it's called. So it is just a clogging of just your sebaceous glands. So really, for him, like a good exfoliator, whether you do it with like those shower gloves, and then getting like an AHA. Or a salicylic acid scrub will help with that. And then actually like a lot of moisturizer.
We bought a sauna, like a barrel sauna for outside to kind of go in like 15, 20 minutes a day, just to kind of release like the toxins and all that. Would that help his skin at all, you think, if we did it consistently?
Yeah, so if he goes in the sauna, you can do a couple things. So he can put on like an oil before he goes in the sauna. That'll help to soften any of the oils that he has that are clogged. And then once he gets out, give a good shower scrub, and then doing a salicylic acid or an AHA on the arms at night will be good. And then moisturize in the morning.
So we have another question from Stoned Sea Witch. Would you also help people who suffer from trichotillomania and other picking disorders?
Yeah.
Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah. Trichotillomania? Yes.
Trichotillomania.
So picking disorders, although we are therapists in our own right, part of that is, you know, the routine piece of the actual picking disorder. But anything that is scar related from any of that, for sure we can treat.
Okay.
What about psoriasis?
Yeah, psoriasis, there's a few different types. So whether it's
the immune one?
Yeah, an autoimmune one. I mean, there are topicals for sure to be done. Psoriasis is, you know, you've got that kind of combination of your skin making too much and those plaques coming on. So we can be an adjunct for sure. As I kind of like move into my own with everything that I can offer as an NP, some of those things will come to the clinic. So with treating psoriasis, there's probably a rheumatologist that may be involved depending on some of those medications. But if it's milder forms, then there are topicals that we can use. But it's really routine with psoriasis.
It's gnarly one, eh? Like it's it doesn't go away, eh? It just...
No, there are things that you can do. If there's a large autoimmune component, then you want to work with a rheumatologist because there are some biological agents that you can use with psoriasis. They have a whole, you know, slew of side effects and there's a lot more to do with that than I would be qualified to do. But certainly some of the topicals on top of that, or more eczema base things, acne, rosacea, things like that, we can definitely help with.
Nice.
Michelle Deckerby has a question. Lichen planus, I'm sorry, Michelle, is hard to treat. Please have a fungal autoimmune, but looks like psoriasis runs in my family. Any preventative or proactive measures?
Yeah, lichen planus is hard to treat too. Hard to treat too, because that comes up too. It's quite itchy, so you're excoriating the skin and it just gets kind of tougher and tougher. I mean, that as well, if there's an autoimmune component, certainly you want to be looking at that. Really good emollients for that is the main thing. All of our consultations are free, so that's certainly one of the things that we try and do to break down, you know, any barriers for people coming in to get information. So
go see you, go ask, right?
Like, yeah, go. Yeah, check. Go no, see. Sure. Yeah, I know it's so hard over over kind of a platform like this to be like, you know, ask the NP kind of thing, because there is so much is so much out there. But that's one of the things that we found, is that there is so much out there, and there are people who, you know, either have gone one way and they haven't really gotten any help. And so, you know, we want to be there for, you know, that next piece, and we want to do something about it. So whether that is a referral, so, you know, if someone doesn't have a family doctor to refer them to that, for an immune specialist and things like that, then we can do that.
Yeah, sometimes you're just going to be part of the equation, right?
Yeah.
Well, Stone Seawitch really likes the fact we went from scrote talks to skincare. We'll don't you worry. We will be doing a 180 and starting to talk about scrote talks again. But I do want to talk to you about, like, 'cause I growing up, and it was nice to hear that not nice to hear, but glad you opened up about the fact that you had bad acne, because I had very bad acne. Mm-hmm. And we only had, back in those days, it was like the stigmatization around it, because it was like, you know, like that classic commercial. It's, they say I eat too many chocolate bars and I don't wash my face, and I don't wash my face. It's like, no. Okay. And even my parents for the longest time thought, oh, you need to take more showers or whatever. It's like, that's not it. Mm-hmm. And then there's those who tuned in for financial advice who think they're on another planet today. Yep, you're damn right.
Definitely, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Oh, we'll get the financial advice in some capacity, maybe.
Yeah, our recaps.
Maybe. Oh, our recaps. But what is available now? Because I went on two bouts of Accutane. Mm-hmm. Is there other stuff around now? Because listen, now, first time was 16. I wasn't into heavy drinking or anything like that. So it going through the liver wasn't
a concern.
Oh yeah. Jesus. But what is it going forward? Like, what are you seeing now with the acne mm-hmm. piece?
Yeah, the acne piece is really big. So we do have a lot of people come in who, you know, have gone in for acne help initially. And sometimes that's what they're presented with is Accutane, and they really don't want to go on it, or parents who don't want their kids to go on it, because there are a lot of things that you have to monitor. So we have a few different things that we can do depending on the type of acne that we see. So some people have mixed acne, you know, blackheads, whiteheads, cystic acne, depending on the severity of the acne. Sometimes you just need a really good microdermabrasion and some medical grade products. You know, that would sort of be the low end of something. Or not the low end, but like sort of our easiest kind of fix, right? If you're just congested and your skin needs to be, needs some care that way, then we do some good exfoliation, get you on a good routine of products that actually have some active ingredients that aren't going to be overly drying or overly oily, tailored to your skin. And then we go up from there. So chemical peels, there are a few different types of chemical peels that we can use for acne skin, depending again on the severity, on the depth that we want the chemical peel to go into the skin. Microneedling with PRP is very good for acne scarring and even sometimes cystic acne. If people do have large cystic acne, we can do a steroid injection into them. It's called Kenalog. That is something that we can also do as well. Usually people will have, you know, maybe one or two. And these are some of the cysts that kind of regrow. They sort of have a cycle. They really, really hurt. And that's so debilitating for somebody, right? Like not even be able to touch your skin because it hurts so much. You've got this huge thing underneath. So that we can use that.
It was bad.
And it's awful, right? Like, especially if you're a young adult and you're dating, like you're making out and your face is hurting so much because it's like just everywhere, you know? And then Fractura is one of our other more intensive treatments that really works for acne. And it's a microneedling device that also has a radio frequency pulse. And so it also helps with some of that P. acne bacteria, eliminating that, helping with scarring, and really helping to smooth out and prevent some of those acne scars from happening. But I will have to say that when you first come, especially like if we're talking about acne, especially if you're first coming for something like acne, I'll say that you'll kind of be like 80-20. So maybe you'll do, you know, 80% will be kind of in clinic treatments until we get acne sort of under control. And then it switches to where 80% is home care. And I don't say that to sell products, because I am 100% the person that sells the least amount of products at the clinic. I'm always like at the bottom of the barrel. But I will have to say that if you use medical grade skincare, which you can get from us or any clinic that is a medical grade clinic, it's the active ingredients, you know. So anything that you buy at Sephora or Shoppers Drug Mart is by law regulated by Health Canada, that they can only have up to a certain percentage of medical grade ingredients in there. And so because we are a medical grade, we have a physician or a nurse practitioner who runs the clinic and can purchase that higher percentage of those of that skincare, you're going to get skincare that's actually going to do more than you would if you were purchasing it off the shelf.
Now I've got a question here. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Bondo.
Got a couple quick ones, just in terms of on hair removal. Like, what would a price point be, say, for a chest, and how long would that last? How long would that last?
Yeah, so the hair removal is permanent, which is amazing. So the laser hair removal is a permanent process. Now, it isn't just a one and done. So your hair grows in a cycle. So if you think about it, we are getting rid of... we are permanently getting rid of about 20% of your hair each cycle. So we don't know what stage of hair growth your hair is in, but roughly about 20% of the hair that we treat per session is in the growth stage to be obliterated, for lack of a better word, permanently when we do the laser. So it is permanent, but it does take some time. So usually 6 to 8 sessions, about 6 weeks apart. If we're doing facial hair, then it can be a bit closer. That hair tends to grow a bit quicker. So about every four weeks we can treat it. But if you're doing, like if you're doing chest or, you know, I'll do sort of back because, you know, back's kind of a big thing for guys. So if we're doing, you know, full back, $355 a session, or we do a package price of, so about $2,100. If you want, you know, if we're doing just chest, same thing. So $355 a session or, $2,100 for the session of 6. And you can't have a tan. So now we're getting into laser season, which is great. So we have a lot of people coming in to start their sessions, and it's permanent. And we do custom pricing too. So, you know, like we have a lot of guys that come in that are like, okay, but I just have these like 2 tufts on my shoulder blades. Like, can you do that? Sure. Of course, we'll do a custom price. You know, especially, you know, if you've got just random hairs or, you know, a certain patch and things like that, then we'll do a custom price for you that way.
Is it guaranteed too, or?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't had anyone be a non-responder, for lack of a better word. You know,
me and my wife got it done, and it worked perfect for my wife. Nothing came back. She had her armpits and stuff like that done, and I got the back of my neck done.
Yep.
And I went quite a few times, and I didn't go during COVID, and it's kind of back now. So I was just curious.
Yeah.
Not with you, obviously, a different place, but.
Yeah, so
well,
I.
There's your first problem right there.
There's your first problem.
If I didn't know about it, then.
Yeah, so neck hair too. We actually see that a lot for guys. Guys will come and they'll get, you know, kind of their hairline, anything below their hairline done, or even beards, right? Like, you know, we've got some guys that, you know, get that neck froth done so they don't have to shave their neck froth anymore, or you know, if they have a certain aesthetic that they want kind of in through hair for their beards and stuff. You definitely need to make sure that you complete your sessions, and that's flexible, right? So we say, you know, 6 to 8 sessions, but if we think that you need, you know, 1 or 2 more within your package price, you'll get 1 or 2 more. It's not like we're gonna be like, sorry, you know,
right?
Gotta leave that.
So is there different kinds where the one I went to didn't quite work and there's just different types of hair removal with laser?
There are different strengths of machines, definitely. It could be a few things. So certainly you have to skin type the patient. So that's just looking at your skin color, your eye color, your hair color, your ethnicity, to see where we start safely, because like our laser hair removal machine is no joke. So you can burn somebody. And actually, funny enough, I don't know if you can see, but I actually caught one of my tattoos with the laser hair removal machine, and I like obliterated half of it.
What was it?
So you do tattoo removal also?
We do tattoo removal also, but a lot safer than the laser. A lot safer than the laser hair removal machine. I was doing my own arms laser hair removal style, and I got too close to the tattoo because it works on the color, right? So if your skin is light and your hair is dark, it's picking up on that. If your skin is a little bit darker, then the laser hair removal has a harder time differentiating between the hair and the skin. So we just have to start at a lower setting. It's still doable, but we still start at a lower and a safer setting. But on the flip side, if someone stays too low in the settings, then your hair isn't getting enough of the actual laser pulse to be completely obliterated. So it might be that, not knowing you, but come in for a consult. We'll take a look and we'll get the rest of your hair off.
So
the other thing I did was my ears, inside the ears must be popular for men, right?
Yeah.
You get the old man ears and ear hair, and then you want to know. That was the worst part, though, getting inside the ears. Like, you're like, oh my God. It hurt.
Yeah. It's hot. It kind of pops the hair follicle right out of there.
So basically what you're saying is Trevor can get that tattoo of Jeff Collins removed from his lower back.
Why would you
do that? Yeah, 100%.
Okay, good. Jeff, come in, Trev, see?
You can be a model for us, Trevor.
Oh, we should do that, Trev. Come on.
No, man. Don't get rid of it, Trevor. It looks badass. It looks badass.
What am I?
It's going to be great.
You got to get Better Call Collins on there, right above it.
Self on the back, something like this type of pose.
Yeah.
From
I'll get Lindy Financial on my chest to support you. It'll be
there. We go.
All right. So we had Michelle Deckerby say, but isn't it that a lot of people overwash oily skin or acne too? Good question.
Yeah, that's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people do as well with oily skin. So that was one of the things that was, you know, I'll say the old idea is that getting rid of your oil because your oil is what is causing your acne. Unfortunately, not unfortunately, but your body works to regulate itself. So if you strip the oil and you have oily skin, your skin is going to say, oh my God, I need more oil because I've just stripped all the oil. And it's going to make more oil. And so it's going to be sort of a bit of a cycle. And I know a couple years ago, there was a big kind of trend that was sort of like an oil wash. So you wash your face, you know, with a facial oil and things like that. I really liked it as well. Not a lot of people like the feeling of it. But that is one of the biggest things if you have oily skin is not to overly strip your skin, because your skin will continue to produce more of that oil. We do have a treatment for very, very oily skin. It is called ALA, aminolevulonic acid, and it actually will tone down your oil-producing glands, so your sebum glands. And so we apply it, and we allow it to kind of sit. It incubates anywhere from about 45 minutes to an hour on your skin, and your oil glands will uptake that medication, and then we use a blue light. You don't really feel anything that day. And the blue light activates that aminolevulonic acid. And over the next course of a couple of days, it starts to feel like a bad sunburn a little bit. And you get a really deep peel. This can also be a treatment for acne. And you get a really deep, deep peeling of the skin. Helps with cystic acne. Helps with true overproduction of oil. And that lasts quite a long time until your body kind of, if that's its nature to make more oil, then it may come back. But a lot of times people find that it really helps to tone down and they're good after a treatment or two.
Now, Stoned Sea Witch asked, sorry, this is probably maybe a couple minutes ago, she asked, is that electrolysis?
Electrolysis.
Electrolysis.
So two different types of treatments. So we don't offer electrolysis. Electrolysis is using an electrical pulse to go down and eliminate the hair. I will say if you're looking for gray hair removal, then electrolysis is one of the only things that you can use. We don't offer it, but our laser hair removal machine is different from electrolysis, and it uses a laser to seek out and find that it's attracted to the color of your skin or the color of your hair, so the melanin in your skin, and that energy goes in and obliterates the hair follicle.
So just complete side note here. Are you an Austin Powers fan? And how much do you, when you turn on that machine, do you want to really quote Austin Powers? Fire up the laser, you know what I mean? Yeah, that would be so cool.
It's a freaking laser. Always.
It's a freaking laser.
Freaking laser,
That's amazing. Oh, yeah, because like...
We have fun.
Now you actually have an outlet for all these amazing quotes. Okay, this is good. Yeah. Okay. Then Michelle asks, can you use a numbing cream with the laser? Do you do that?
Yep, we do. We can. So we do a lot of Brazilian laser hair removal for women and for men. And so we can numb. So we can numb if that's something. Ice also works just as well. So sometimes we'll do a combo. If someone is really nervous, then we'll do a little bit of numbing cream and an ice pack, and we can just go slow.
What's a unibrow removal cost?
Oh, unibrow removal.
That's going to be a popular one.
Totally popular one. That one, that's awesome. Like not having to shave between your eyebrows is amazing. Especially for guys, right? Yeah, unibrow, it's a custom price. I think we do it for $65 a session. I think.
My son looked it up. There's actually a country that it's really sexy to have a unibrow.
Absolutely, it used to be the style, right?
I think it's Tajikistan or something like that. He looked it up because he's got a bit of a unibrow. So we want
to Eugene Levy.
That's awesome. Have him rock it for sure.
Yeah, right. He's getting unibrow's got to go.
I got another. Let me see. We got another. Oh no, she just Michelle just wrote in a little bit of wine. And of course, everything goes well with wine.
Yeah, everything goes well with wine. Another quick question. I'm going to throw it out into the mix here. What can you tell us about Ozempic?
Ah, Ozempic. Everyone wants Ozempic.
What the heck's Ozempic?
Ozempic. So we may.
And why do I want it?
Yeah, we may bring Ozempic into the clinic. I've actually had a ton of patients ask about Ozempic. So Ozempic is first and foremost a diabetic treatment, but it is fresh on the market, Health Canada approved for weight loss. So what it does is that it is a weekly injection. So again, tiny little needle, you inject it into your tummy. And it makes your body more efficient at utilizing glucose. It decreases your hunger, so you don't eat as much. And people are finding that it is quite a good weight loss medication for them. There are some side effects, certainly. So a lot of GI side effects. So stomach upset, can be constipation, can be diarrhea, can be either or. But it is, I know, right? But people... Weight loss is one of those things that that people struggle with. And the reason that it came about because it is a diabetic medication is that oftentimes people who have type 2 diabetes are overweight. And so anything that you can do to kind of help decrease some of that weight, make your body a little bit more efficient with insulin is a good thing. So it helps to increase your insulin sensitivity to the body. And one of the side effects, of course, they found was weight loss. So now it is on the market, approved for weight loss. You go up, small doses. So you're on the starting dose for, 4 weeks or so, and then you can up the dosage. It depends on how well you tolerate it. So I know that I have had a few people come through when I was finishing up my NP placement who had been on a higher dose of Ozempic and really not feeling well, right? So you can get some nausea, some vomiting, again, like I said, some of those tummy issues. But people have found that they have had some really good weight loss on it.
And so is it continual, though? Like, is it something that you would have to give yourself a jab, essentially? But for the rest of your life, essentially, weekly?
Yeah. So it is like any medication, right? So if you were on a heart medication, you'd be taking that for the rest of your life. As a diabetic medication or as a weight loss, you will, if you're using it preliminarily for weight loss, if you stop taking it, then certainly the appetite suppression part of it goes away. So you do start to become more hungry. And so you will eat a little bit more, and then the effects that it's having on your body in terms of insulin sensitivity and things like that will also stop. So there is some weight regain that I've heard that comes with it once you do stop Ozempic. But that is the idea, is that you find a maintenance dose, and then that is sort of your dose going forward. And it's a once a week injection.
Well, that can be huge, right?
It is expensive, so some insurance companies will cover it, but if you don't have private insurance, I think it's like $400 a month. So it's pretty expensive.
But now like if you're...
Just for the medication.
But can you not get it through a diabetic route and have it prescribed?
Yeah, so it can still be, it's only prescribed, right? So even whether you're doing it for weight loss or for diabetic purposes, it's still prescribed. So it is Health Canada approved, so you can get it covered through your insurance company as a prescription medication, like anything else, right, that you would pick up, an antibiotic or whatever. But if you don't have coverage or if you have partial coverage, it still is expensive.
Okay. So not much OHIP coverage on it.
Yeah, so no OHIP coverage. It's not covered at all.
There's a good question about sunscreen.
Don't get Alenka on sunscreen. She gives me so much crap all the time.
Yeah, sunscreen. Really, in terms of the kind of sunscreen you want, I mean, I'm partial to the brands that we cover. We have two. We have one from Alumier and one from Color Science. But what you want to look for is actually a mineral sunscreen. So there's a chemical sunscreen and there's a mineral-based sunscreen or a physical sunscreen, it's called. And you want to avoid the chemical-based sunscreen and go with a mineral or a physical sunscreen. That's always going to be your best bet. A, for your skin, so you're not relying on chemicals to block those UV rays. Better for our coral reefs because the chemicals in the chemical sunscreen are really bad for the environment. And the physical sunscreen uses zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. And those things help to protect your skin from the UV and the UVB. I mean, the best thing that you can do for prevention of your skin is sunscreen, 100%. I have an SPF 50 on even now. And it's raining. it's baked into my skincare. And if it's something that you like if you want to combine a makeup type of physical sunscreen, the Color Science line, which we have, is really, really great. And then Alumier, which is our skincare brand, they also have a tinted sunscreen, a few different shades. They've got a versatile tint, and then of course an untinted. But that should definitely be part of your skincare routine, especially for your face, your neck, to prevent. And then, of course, if you're going out into the sun. But my recommendation is to do a physical sunscreen over a chemical sunscreen because it's going to be better for your skin, better for the environment.
I like it.
And reapply, reapply, reapply.
How often? Every hour? So, or 2 hours?
Yeah, so if you think about the FPS number, really just tells you how much more coverage you have over what your normal skin would be able to do when it burns. So, for example, I'm pretty fair. So, if it takes me, 20 minutes to burn, if I'm out in the sun without anything, if I'm wearing an SPF 50, then it would take me 70 minutes to burn because I've got that 50 on. So. Definitely after you're sweating, definitely after you come out of the water, but probably every hour and a half, I'd be reapplying sunscreen if you're out and about.
Huh. Use your sunscreen, see which.
So it's not once for the whole day, eh?
Not once for the whole day. Oh my God. I mean, if you guys are golfing or if you're like, you get the powder sunscreen. Does anyone have the powder sunscreen from our clinic in their golf bag or anything like that? Oh my God. It's so
They're
good.
They're going to be a golfer's gift for next year at Wise Guys.
Yeah.
That's where the beer goes is the golf bag.
It's a powder brush. So it's great for kids too. Like if you've got little kids, you can just powder them. So it's the physical sunscreen. It's a powder and you just brush it on. It's like great for your ears or like the back of your neck, in your part or
what's it called?
In your hair and your little, it's Color Science. It's called Color Science Brush On, brush on sunscreen. You can grab it at our clinic or on our online store as well.
So as we're getting, I told you, Alenka, it's well over an hour and it completely flew by.
We got to circle back to Scrotox now, don't we?
We got to circle back to Scrotox and then, but before we do that and completely get off, off the rails on that. what people can go to your website, clairedimmer.ca, right? Mm-hmm. And order this. And do you do home delivery at all? Or
yeah, so we do delivery. You can, if you're close to us, we can deliver. You can pick it up in the clinic as well. Or we'll ship it out to you. And then this in 2 weekends when we have our open house, we also have all of our promos that are going to be on the clinic to buy too. So if you can't make it into the clinic and there's something that you're looking for, we do gift cards online. We do all our promos online, all of our skincare online as well. So we only have one skincare brand. We took a lot of time when deciding on what brand to carry. So we carry Alumier. and the link is through our website as well. And that ships directly from Illumier. They ship for free for orders, I think, over $75, which is really, really great. And then if you're buying something else, like the Color Science line, then that ships directly from us, or you can pick anything up at the clinic as well.
So you also said that you have a free consultation with people. My wife's obsessed with her skin and all that. I'd love to send her that because she's just nonstop stuff.
Yep. Yeah, so you can do, there are two different consultations that you can choose from. So there's an injectable consultation. So if you're thinking of either Botox or filler, you can choose the injectable consultation, and that's with one of the nurses. And then if you're thinking just overall skincare, and, you know, all of our estheticians are so good. And so they also know, you know, about injectable procedures too. But if you're looking for more kind of a rounded consultation, and you don't really know where to start or what you're thinking about, then booking with any one of our medical estheticians is fantastic. And they'll go through your skin. You can cry to them. You can, you know, we have so many people come in and just have stories that make you, you know, sometimes shake your head at the way that they've been treated other places, or, you know, just make you feel for them, because, you know, skin is something that is so personal.
And no referral from your doctor needed. No referral. From
no, no referral. Okay. Yep. No referral needed from your doctor at all.
Collins. What's that? Mm-hmm.
There's help for your junk after all.
Scrotox?
Yeah.
What kind of sunscreen do you recommend for your newly scrotoxed sack?
What the hell?
Same thing. Physical sunscreen.
I want to brush on stuff or what?
I'd protect them. But if they're not that nice that you're showing them out at the pool, then yeah, you definitely want.
I assume if I got Scrotex, they'd be that much nicer, so I'd want to show them off, right? So you
accidentally on the side of the jeans or up the side of the shorts.
I'm in my mid-40s now. They just hang out of the shorts when I'm walking down the beach, I got to make sure they're good.
Oh, my God. This would be hilarious. All right. So any other what we usually do, Olenka, is just kind of do each have a weekly topic just, or, you know, to kind of get people up to speed on what's going on.
Yeah.
And you can definitely stay on, and because we'll be like in about 20 minutes, we'll be wrapping her all up and everything. So, thank you so much for coming on. You kept it extremely entertaining
and professional,
with a lot of insight.
As much as you can with talking about Scrotox, but
you rocked it's it. Good. Yeah. You rocked it, which is good. So before we go, Collins, is there anything you want to let our
I'd mention about from a real estate point of view, because I'm going through it right now. If you have a firm contract for buying a house in Ontario, don't think that losing the deposit is all you're going to lose to try to get out of the deal. You do go through litigation. It's not as easy as people think. There's a per diem many times. And don't think if you're a buyer and you've removed conditions that you can simply just forfeit your deposit and call it a day. It is a legal contract in Ontario. There's a lot more to it. I'm going through it right now, and it's at quite a bit of cost for the potential buyers who were telling them they have to close. It's in the same boat as me as a builder when I was building houses, and we sold for much cheaper than they were when they got the keys. We still committed to it, and we finished off at the same price. If you remove conditions and then the market changes drastically like it has, you still have to close. And, you know, Bond might be able to talk about that, but it's not as easy as you think. It's not just the deposit you lose. There's quite a bit more money and remuneration going on.
Well, the thing is you don't have to close, right? Because you can breach that contract.
Yeah.
Once you breach that contract, then you're exposed to some form of liability, right, Jeff? And you just don't know how much liability you're exposed to. If the people can't then sell the property for $100,000 less than what you were prepared to pay for it, well, guess what? They've lost $100,000, right?
Yeah.
So there could be significant measure of damages, especially coming out of this pandemic. And if you've committed to something really earlier on in the year and it hasn't closed yet, you know what, you've lost value there. So I mean, you know, lose the value by getting sued, or lose the value by backing out of the contract. I mean,
and there's not just that. Like if you get sued, potentially you can be going through bankruptcy, which can be a 7-year
fix, right? Where usually you're better off to close on it and then wait it out 3 to 5 years and you'll be recouped more or less, right? But if you don't, you got to look at the other repercussions of not closing on it too.
You should be a person of your word, right? If you've committed your name.
Yeah, if you firmed up, you're in a contract, a legal binding contract, you close the deal.
Close the deal. Do what you've got to do to close the deal.
So this is a big thing going on right now with the drastic change in pricing, and people are trying to get out of the deal. But like you said, you know, be a man of your word or a woman of your word or a couple of your word or whatever. Close the deal.
Yeah. It's disgusting.
Bondo, do you want to – is there any – or is that your pretty much your tip, or do you want to do anything else? Or
yeah, no, it's that's it. And 19 years for my wife and I today, August 30th.
So. Well, happy anniversary!
Oh, there
happy
we go,
anniversary.
And you're doing a podcast about Scrotox for her.
And I'm doing a
the appointment is actually scheduled for later on this afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying
it's live streamed.
That's our gift to you, Bondo, for your anniversary. We're buying you new balls.
That's it. What if I don't have any in the first place?
I haven't had them cut off, so we all know that. I honestly, the big thing everybody was curious about was the CPI numbers for July, which just came out recently. We can see that the consumer price index is down 8.1 to 7.6, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. But some key factors to keep in mind is we've got to look at the core inflation numbers. And that's when you strip out the energy cost and you strip out the food cost. And part of the reason behind the 8.1 to 7.6 decrease is because of the cost of fuel at the pump, right? Here in Ontario, we went from basically $2 a liter down to $1.50 a liter right now. So that was a huge contributing factor. When we look at core inflation's gone from 6.2 to 6.1. So a little bit of a softening there, but high likelihood come September 7th. So next Wednesday, 10 a.m., that's the next Bank of Canada meeting. High likelihood that we're probably going to see a half a point increase on the overnight lending rate because of that. And the reason, the underlying message as to why economists are thinking that is because when you look at the inflation numbers specifically tied to housing, they're still relatively strong, right? So if they remain strong, even though we're looking at the overall inflationary numbers being decreased, there's still concern from the Bank of Canada, and they're going to stop at no cost, right? This is their goal.
Great point, Strev. I mean,
I believe that.
Yeah, no, and right now, I mean, this is what I'm going to piggyback on. So it's a good segue in the sense of like today, the S&P 500 is down right now about 1.12%. Because of there's a convention, if you will, of economists around the world. It's called the Jackson Hole Summit. It's in the United States, and pretty much. Last Thursday, technically, Jerome Powell came out and essentially foo-fooed and pretty much hit on exactly what Trevor just said, that the U.S. will definitely be still aggressive going forward with interest rate increases, which means the Bank of Canada most likely is going to follow suit. Typically, they do. And that is having an adverse reaction to the markets right now. All the major indices are,
last 3 days anyways, right? Friday.
It's been a bloodbath. Now I do still think we've hit our low, on all the indices and in the markets. I think we've hit our bottom, but expect some, you know, we are doing this episode, like Bondo said, on Bondo's anniversary, August 30th, but, expect some more pain for the next 2 months, of some high volatility, swings in the market. However, great time to buy. You are still statistically buying at the low. But I just think it is concerning that potentially an interest rate decrease next year, 2023, potentially is off the table until this inflation comes under control. Because again, Trevor hit on a really, really good point. when you look at numbers, you got to put things into context. And when you look at the CPI numbers specifically and you strip out fuel, which is basically it's a need, right? And it has the highest volatility. Of course, artificially, your number is going to go down because the gas prices went down. But when you look at real inflation and your basket of goods, I mean, I don't know about anybody else out here, but Alenka, how old's your little one again? How old is she?
18 months.
Yeah. So like, is she everything baby related is through the bloody roof.
Yeah. You can't find baby Tylenol, right? So
it's insane right now. Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely crazy. And that's really what's affecting people's pocketbooks. And yeah, as we're closing out the year in 2022, I'm concerned heading into 2023. I think it's going to be a pretty bumpy ride.
But again, stay the course, right?
What's that?
Stay the course.
Stay the course.
You know, stay the course. If you're working with a financial planner, and you're working with a professional like a lawyer or a real estate agent or a mortgage broker, and you know they're giving you advice on what to do and when to do it and stuff like that, then just stay the course and just listen to a professional. Don't Dr. Google it. Don't think
trust
that you have all the answers.
Though, too, just right? Trust to cut you off right? on that. But trust
no,
that's
a
professional that you've hired.
That's a really good. No, I don't take that as a cutoff at all. That's a really good ad because the key is to trust in, you know, it's just very much like when we go in and see Alenka about acne or mm-hmm. anything of that nature. She's the nurse practitioner. My balls, right?
Trust her with your balls.
Exactly.
You got to trust the process.
You got to trust the process and you got to stick to the game plan. There is no such thing as a get rich quick scheme.
Or grow 2 inches scheme.
Well, no, Alenka did say
she didn't say 2 inches. Like
I didn't say 2 inches. I'm not guaranteeing any inches.
2 inches, right? That's 2 inches, right? Yeah. Okay.
That's all you need though, right, Trevor?
No. That's right. Yeah.
it's all in good fun.
To the whole episode, I mean, you look good, you feel good. You're going to perform better, right?
So, absolutely. I mean, and it's good for your mental health too.
Yeah.
It's good for mental health
absolutely.
As well.
Huge. So,
well, ladies and gentlemen, www.clariderma.com. Alenka, thank you so much for coming on.
You're
your
welcome.
Absolute pleasure. It was so much fun having you on. And we're going to have you on again if that's cool. Anything
for
cool
sure.
like that, can you let us know? We'll have you on again.
Yeah,
to talk about anything. Bondo, you want to
you want to give
a big thanks to everybody.
Think and Litch, just thank them for the sponsor.
Thank you very much to Brand Boulevard, who are our sponsors. Absolutely. And Bondo,
help us help you stay informed.
Thanks, everybody.
I'm Emily Roger, and I host a leadership show called The Boiling Point with my co-host, Dave Vail. Together, we sit down with trailblazing entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers who are driving meaningful change in our world. The show is all about exploring the lives and perspectives of leaders who are making a difference. Join us for insightful conversations that challenge the status quo, spark new ideas, and inspire you to take action. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or at BoilingPointPodcast.com.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent Podcast, NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. and Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
Hear ye! Hear ye!
Produced by Crier Media and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.